be delivered. So let's all worship together, amen.
Thank you.
the man of God if a heart he praise the Lord.
Genesis 27. Now, I really love doing the scripture studies. A lot of work. A lot of work in there. So y'all gotta increase my pain. Y'all gotta increase my pain. Just give me my original pain. I'm okay. Amen. It's a lot of work. But when we get to portions now, I'm not like most of these other Bible teachers. I can't get a train of thought. Yes. Leave and come back to it. I have interruptions during the day. Thank you, Irene. I have interruptions. People have business meetings and all these questions. So when I get on the train of thought, I have to stay with that thought. Because when I leave and come back, when you see the gaps, the younger sees the gaps. Because I was reading just now, like, how the world forget to put that in. So when you see the gaps, that's an interruption. So you just right when you see the gas right now, the interruption. Hey, man. All right, Irene, man. Well, no, it was about me. There was a lot of interruptions today. Amen. My family called and different things and a lot of different interruptions. But what I'm finding out is that as you study the Word of God, we have been so misled when it comes to Scripture. We're so in error. Actually, when I had to speak in Georgia, I told them, I have to confess, I've been a lazy preacher. Amen. You know what makes us lazy preachers, lazy studiers? We are lazy. We just take what everybody else says and run with it. Right? Without studying to see whether those things are true or not. The Bible says those of Berea are more noble than those of Thessalonica. And they get what? Search the Scripture. Amen. And I think, I believe we as saints, it is just not preachers. Everybody that gets saved wants to study. Yes. Assure themselves and prove unto God. You should be able to say with conviction and confidence what you believe in the Word of God, not what you've been taught. Because yes. A whole lot of stuff we've been taught. Right. For instance, because I've been studying this Jacob and Esau and Rebecca. How many know almost the greater majority of people say Jacob was a deceiver? Jacob was a liar. I mean, these are theologians. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a liar. And then Rebecca was conniving and mischievous. Have y'all heard that?
Amen.
I mean, that's what they say. And they say so much, so I was like, well, you know, you kind of lean that way. But then when you start studying the scripture for yourself, you find out how far they were really off. Amen. So let's just get into this. Let's go to Genesis, the 27th chapter. And so that I don't rush, I only did 5 verses. Is that all right? Amen. 5 verses. And I left out a lot of those 5 verses. But we're going to read verses 1 through 5. We can stand for that. Genesis 27, verses 1 through 5. And in reading this about Isaac, for the first time, I realized Isaac had some challenges. And we'll find out. Isaac really has some serious challenges that you don't get if you don't really study it, but hopefully we'll get into that, right? So Genesis chapter 27, verse 1 reads, "And it came to pass that when Isaac," something happens to us sometimes when we get old. Sometimes when we get old, it's for the better. Sometimes when we get old, it's for the worse. "And his eyes were dim, so he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, 'My son,' and he said unto him, 'Behold, here am I.' And he said, 'Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death.'" Now, if anybody that's done the Bible, that should be a red flag. Because all godly leaders, as we're going to find out, had a good idea as to the day of their death. Right? So he said, "I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapon, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me a savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for the venison and to bring it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader's word.
the church said,
praise the Lord.
Amen. You need to be seated. So it's kind of striking in this fourth, at the end of the fourth verse, he said, I'm going to bless you before I die. All right. So we're going to get into it a little later. But we know that generally the righteous, the holy, had an inclination when they were leaving. Remember, even Moses, he called Joshua aside. And he said, I'm about to expire. I'm going to pass the leadership over to you, because he was a godly leader. So Moses knew when he was going to die. We're going to read a little later. We'll find out Abraham knew that he was going to die. In the 25th chapter, remember when we went over it, it said he sent the sons of Keturah away from his son Isaac, because he knew that he was about to die. And he gave all that he had to Isaac. Jacob, at the end of his pilgrimage in Egypt, called his 12 sons and the sons of Joseph and blessed them, he said, because I'm about to die. Now Jacob, but Isaac said, I don't know when I'm going to die. And through studying, what I found out is he speaks to Esau now. Guess what? He doesn't die for 43 years later. He dies 43 years later. Right? How do we know this? Remember when after Jacob went to Laban, to his mother's brother's house, he was there for over 20 years. Then he pilgrimaged back. One of the first persons he met after Esau was Isaac. So he said he was about to die, but he wasn't about to die. So this shows something about the character of Isaac. Y'all with me? Don't get nervous. I ain't giving y'all something to do. All right, I'm just saying, I didn't realize this. That he thought he was going to die, and he wanted to do all this before he died, and he didn't die for 43 years. That shows that he had to be slightly out of touch. Right, he couldn't be in tune with God. So let's go to our notes. So y'all stop looking at me funny. But if you like me, I was just surprised to know a lot of this. And, just one other thing. Now, Isaac is about to bless who? Esau. Right. Listen, I'm trying to give you some things to put in your mind. So Isaac is about to bless Esau. But at the end of the 25th chapter, I believe it was, the 26th chapter, it says that, 25th or 26th chapter, it says, that Esau married two Canaanite women, and then it was a grief to who? Rebekah and Isaac. Right? So now, the blessing is not supposed to be passed on to the Canaanites. So this shows something about Isaac's mindset. How could he give the blessing of the heritage and the covenant to Esau when he was in complete defiance to the will of God? But he was going to bless him. So that's why when people say that Jacob stole and Jacob denied, Jacob didn't do anything. Jacob just did what God told Rebekah he was going to do. That the older was going to serve the younger. But my question and the thing that when I was reading, I was like, wait a minute, how could Isaac bless Esau with the heritage? Right, he's going to pass the posterity on to Esau, which would have been from Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant would have been passed on to Esau if Rebekah wasn't used by God to intervene. So this is how we have to get started. Because Isaac knew himself, Let's just use Isaac for this perfect example. Isaac was himself. God told, Abraham told his servant, he said, do not take a wife for my son Isaac of who? The Canaanite women. He said, but in no circumstance are you to take a wife for my son of these Canaanite women, because that would have marred the heritage. That would have marred their spiritual legacy. Isaac knew this, but then Isaac, because, and this is how we have to be careful as saints. Isaac knew this, but he was still going to give something spiritual, something that represented God to someone that was in the position to help him. Because how could Esau receive it? He was completely defiant. And we're going to find out later in the scripture, he did stuff because he knew it would make his parents mad. But yet, Isaac was going to give him that blessing. But how could he do that? And I just, well, let me get into this, because if I give y'all 2 months, then we won't get into this. Right? I'm just trying to let you know that this shows something about the mindset of Isaac that I never recognized before I started doing this. And the thing is, at this time, Esau is married, and Esau is not at home. Right? He's out. He has his own 2 wives. Okay, so now let's go to Genesis 27. Are y'all with me? I'm just giving you that to think about something. Right? Just think about that. I was going to give a spiritual blessing to someone. And then we're going to find in the 28th chapter, it says Isaac was kind of confused, because in the 28th chapter, he tells Jacob, you can't marry none of these Canaanite women. But in the 27th chapter, he's going to give the blessing to Esau to marry Canaanite. So we have to be so careful that we don't allow our emotions to overrule our spirituality. Amen. Amen? Don't allow your emotions to overrule your spirituality. And I'm just curious, why did Rebecca know that Isaac had sold the birthright to Jacob and Isaac didn't know it? Right. That's they're supposed to have a bond. They're supposed to be close. So if you're saying these are all the things that represent a different dynamics when it comes to Isaac, okay? Genesis 27, are y'all with me? Yeah. And you can either put an interruption or eventually, Carol said, put Irene. When you get to gaps, it don't make sense, all right? So Genesis 27 reveals something very significant about Isaac's. Isaac what? Spiritual discernment that we will miss if we just read it without doing a proper word study of the verses. This chapter has greater spiritual significance that can only be obtained by properly or rightly dividing the Word of God. Let me give you a subtle hint as to what we will discover as we delve deeply into this chapter. We know that Abram, who later became Abraham's wife, has a father of faith began in Genesis 12 and ended in Genesis 25. Genesis 12:1 reads, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And we know Hebrews 11 said, by faith, Abraham went to a land not knowing whither he went. Why? Because he obeyed God. Amen. The father of faith. How many of us go places that we God tells us to go, we don't know where we're going? Right, just that's something to think about. Genesis 25. 7-8 now. So Genesis 12:1 is where he begins. Genesis 25 is where Abraham ends. Now we know in between this there are mentions of Isaac. Like we're talking about we're dealing with the main character in the plot. Alright, so the main character from Genesis 12-25 is who? Abraham. So verse 7 reads, these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 100 threescore and 15 years, which is 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. We can see in comparing Genesis 12 with Genesis 25:8 that it took how many chapters? 14 chapters to come. because of the life and dealings of God with Abraham. I believe it's safe to say that this shows something very spiritually significant about who? Abraham. We know from the scripture that Jacob, who also became Israel in the 37th chapter of Genesis, when he wrestled with the angel of God, he said, as a prince, thou hast power of God. That's what Israel, life and blessing starts in Genesis 25. We skip Genesis 26, because 26 is about Isaac and going down into across to the famine. Verses 27 through 37, and now he's the main character, Jacob. We know verses 38 through 41 was about Joseph. Then Jacob becomes the main character again in verse chapter 42, and then chapters 45 through 49 is all about Jacob. All right, so I don't want to read all those, okay? But you can see this in here. It says, we know 25 is when he was born. He came out with his brother. 49, let's just go to 49, verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his son, he gathered up his feet into the bed, he yoked up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. We can see in comparing Genesis 25 and Genesis 49, 33, that it took how many chapters? 18 chapters to cover the life and death of God of Jacob, or Israel. Alright, so Abraham was how many? 14. And Jacob is 18. We know from the scripture that Isaac's life and God's dealing with him are covered in Genesis 24 through 27. Two verses in chapter 28, and a small portion of Genesis 35. Three verses to be exact. In Genesis 24 and 6, I don't know if that's 6 or 67. Then Isaac brought her to his mother's tent. Yeah, that should be 67. All right, and Isaac brought her to her mother's Sarah's tent. That starts with Isaac in 24. Verse 25, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. And then Genesis 35, 27 through 29, and Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, in the city of Arbor. All right, so those are the verses that mentions Isaac. All right, we can see in comparing Genesis 24 and Genesis 35 that it took what?
Four chapters and five additional verses
from Genesis 28 and 35 to cover the life of Isaac. That is an indicator right there that there's a problem. Right? How can Abraham have 14 chapters? Jacob, his son, have 18 chapters, and he only had a mere 4 chapters. Right? These are indicators that there's a problem. Well, how do we know that? Let's go further. We can see in comparing, let me go down further. I wanted to bring out this to better understand what chapter 27 is going to reveal to us about Isaac. Also remember that we were surprised to see from the scripture that someone who seemed to be as important as Eve, who was the mother of all of them, was only mentioned
twice.
In the book of Genesis, New Beginning, in the whole Old Testament, she's only mentioned twice, and she's mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament. She's the mother of all living. All right, this is kind of surprising. She's mentioned in Genesis 3:20 and Genesis 4:1, and Abraham called his wife named Eve because up until she sinned, she was woman. After she sinned, her name was Eve. In Genesis 4:1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. I want to remind us of this because we know that it reveals something concerning the importance of a person in the attribute of God when little is mentioned concerning them. Keep all of this in mind as we proceed in our study of Genesis 27. We begin our study of this chapter with the knowledge that Esau has legally done what? He has sold his birthright to Jacob, along with all that is attached to it, including the blessings of the firstborn. That's Genesis 25, 33 through 34. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. That's in chapter 25. Now we are fast forwarding to chapter 27. In And it said at the end of the 34th verse that Esau what? Despised his birthright. Esau has also rejected the women of his parents' bloodline and married foreign women, idolaters, much to the grief of his parents. And this is Genesis 26, 34 through 35, which is the end of chapter 26 before we get into chapter 27, when it says, and it came to pass. Right after he tells us about Esau, and it comes to pass. So verse 34 reads, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bethshemeth, the daughter of Eli the Hittite, which was a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So my question once again is, how is Isaac in his right mind passing the heritage of Abraham and Abraham the covenant to someone who was in defiance to God? We're trying to show the mindset of Isaac, okay? We must understand that each of Esau's poor decisions denotes a rejection of the plan of the God of Abraham and Isaac and place him in a position where he cannot what? He can't inherit the promise. But his father still tried to give it to him. Why? This is showing us something about Isaac's mindset and blessings associated with the covenant of God. We explain in Genesis 26 that Isaac journeyed from generation to personal faith, as that's when God moved in his life in such a way that he developed his own relationship with God. Remember in the 26th chapter, it said that Isaac built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord for the first time for himself after God had done so much. So no longer is he going by his father Abraham's faith, God has now instilled faith in him. Amen. Genesis 20, Abraham for the next generation leads us to Genesis 27, which describes the passing on of the birthright, family priesthood, and blessing the firstborn to Jacob. Many have focused on Jacob's supposed deception, and presumed flawed character, and sinful practice that has been propagated through improper hermeneutics, which means properly interpreting the scriptures. However, they fail to consider the fact that either Esau has only kept the information about the sale of his birthright to himself and from his father Isaac. Esau knew that it would be an embarrassment to his father if Isaac knew that he had rejected the godly heritage, is what it's supposed to mean. All right, so I'm going with this. Esau had nonetheless failed to establish himself by approving Jacob as the rightful heir to the family inheritance and the blessing of the firstborn, which is attached to the birthright. So Esau had done it, but he did not make it known to his father or anyone else. But guess who knew? And not only did God know, but Rebekah knew. Rebekah also knew what God had told her. All right. So now let's go to Genesis 27:1. I just want to bring all that out before we went too far into this. All right. So it's important that we understand there's something going on in Isaac's mind that should be going on because he thinks he's going to die and he's given out a blessing and he's around 43 more years, and we'll find out. Genesis 27:1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. You know, what this saying, here am I, is a Hebrew term, which means I'm at your complete disposal. And most of the time it's used in response to God. But it might be E.T. in the beginning. For some reason, the translators have no words for this. If I said, wow, this is amazing. So all of the translators, when they say, am I, they leave it blank because they don't understand what that means. But it's him and I, H-I-N-E-N-I, which means to be at someone's complete disposal. All right, it means to be complete, so I understand. Because it's not an English word, it's a Hebrew word. All right, so it's important. When you get to me now, learn. When I get to something and they don't have a word for that, I'm going to find out what that is. All right, because God doesn't have anything in the Bible that has no meaning. All right, so when they hear am I, they just have no meaning for it. This verse has deeper spiritual implications than what comes from a superficial or novelistic reading of the verse. Keep in mind that Isaac was old. Isaac was, now I just want to, we want to establish something about his age. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. That's Genesis 25:20. All right, see that? Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. Isaac was 60 years old when Esau and Jacob were born. And Genesis 25:26 says, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, which means hill catcher. It doesn't mean supplanter, it doesn't mean deceiver, it doesn't mean liar. Alright? It means hill catcher. And Isaac was what? 80 years old when they were born. Isaac was 100 years old when Esau married Judith and Bethsemane, right? Because if Isaac was 60 when they were born, and if we just read that Esau married these women when he was how old? 40. 60 plus 40 is 100. You all still with me? Mm-hmm. We're just trying to build a case to let you know that Isaac wasn't a little kid at this time. He was a grown man. All right? So it says, Isaac was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bishamath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And it was a what? Grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Isaac was 137 years old, according to Jewish historians, and was also the age at which his half-brother, Ishmael, died. All right? Isaac was 137 years old in this chapter, and his sons were 77 years old. All right? We know that he lived 43 years after saying that he was old and at the point of death, if we compare Genesis 35:28. It says, how old was Isaac when he died? 104 years, which is 180. So from 137 to 180 is 43 years. Which means he lived 43 years after he said he's about to die. So there's something wrong with that because every righteous, godly person knew when they were going to die. Look at Abraham, look at Jacob, and look at Moses. Even look at David when he passed the blessing on to his son Solomon. All right? So these are indicators that there's something wrong. That you can be off by a year, you can be off by 2 years, but to be off by 43 years, that's older than a lot of us that are sitting here. Well, we have to wait for Sunday for that. So how can he be 43 years off? Think about that, right? He's 137 when this event takes place in, around 137, give or take a year or two, when this event takes place in the 27th chapter, then he dies when he's 180, all right? It's very important for us to understand these ages as I'm attempting to set the stage for the events which are about to take place, so that we can use proper hermeneutics in interpreting this chapter. I want to bring this out because it is very important that we allow the scriptures to, right? Allow the what? Scriptures. Not what people have said, not what the commentators have said. Allow scriptures to interpret, right, this biblical events instead of what has been popularized by those who say that Jacob was a deceiver, a liar, and a supplanter. That he deceived Isaac to inherit the blessings of the firstborn. I mean, I was going to say, oh, it's like, man, it's just floods of pages. Like, all, so he was a deceiver, he was a liar, and a supplanter. But that's not what the scripture says. So we have to be careful as we study the Bible. Don't go by what's popular, but find out what the truth is. Next, we read that Isaac's eyes were dim. Now, when we read it superficially, it seems like it's a natural eyes. Right? Just seems like his eyes were dim. But it's telling us something about our eyes. His eyes couldn't have been that dim because it was around 43 more years. So this is a spiritual indicator about Isaac. Okay? I'm going to show that eyes have spiritual implications in this verse, as well as suggesting a natural process that occurs in old age. Eyes in this verse is Strong's 5869 eye. Eye could mean of the physical eye, as showing mental quality or mental and spiritual faculties, spirits. So eyes could be mental and spiritual. So his eyes were dim. So we know that his eyes were dim because he did not know spiritually that Esau no longer had the birthright. Right? This is telling us he didn't know it. Because his eyes, spiritually he was blinded and he couldn't see. Are y'all still with me? I want to go back to where eyes is first mentioned in the scriptures to prove that the use of eye can be natural occurrence with spiritual implications. In Genesis 3, 5 through 7, we read that the serpent told the woman, in the day that ye fell, then your eyes, weren't your eyes already open? Right, so eyes can be spiritual or it could be natural. So he said, in the day that ye fell, your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as God. Now we know that the serpent wasn't speaking of seeing naturally, but spiritually, right? He said, God doth know that the day that ye fell, ye shall be as God, right? So we're not talking about natural seeing, now we're talking about spiritual seeing, all right? So just let you know. Now we know that the serpent wasn't speaking about seeing naturally in the Genesis 3, 5 through 7, for God doth know in the days that ye fell, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing. And when the woman saw, the woman had saw the tree before, and when the woman saw that the tree was what? Good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes. And the what? Eyes of them both were. So we're talking about now a spiritual seed. We're not talking about natural, we're talking about sin, because they can already see. But now it's going into the spiritual realm, right? The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. So we can see that eye has spiritual implications. It goes further than just, right? So we naturally see. Amen. Also keep in mind that Adam and the woman sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to cover themselves, which suggests that they tried to cover sin. They obey. Alright. Now this is all important. You know, it doesn't seem like it when we get down later in this chapter, which we won't get to tonight. Remember this, trying to cover sin our way. Alright? It's important. And it says Proverbs 28:30, he that covereth, we cannot cover our sin. He that covereth his sin
shall not prosper.
Adam and the woman's feeble attempt to cover their sin was insufficient. So the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. And that's Genesis 3:21. This is what's been termed theologically as the intimation of sacrifice, which means also atonement, that the Lord God killed an animal and made coats of skins to make atonement for their sin. Now it's important to remember this. Remember atonement. Remember covering. Because later, when Jacob has to go before his father, he has to be covered. Right? He has to have goats. So just keep that in mind. That's for next week. If we're here. All right. And unfortunately, I didn't get far enough for somebody else to have to figure this out for you. If y'all do it next week, but I don't know who's gonna be, right? But just keep that in mind. Atonement and covering. Remember, because Rebecca asked him to go out and get, and I didn't realize this, I thought she just had to go get a goat. She had to go out and get two goats. Two goats. And from the two goats, she made skins and covered his hands and covered his neck. Remember atonement and covering sin. All right, that's for later. All right, if you want to go ahead, that's good. Go ahead and try and research it. All right. So atonement is Strong's age 3722, which is Kfar, which means to cover, purge, make atonement, make reconciliation, or to cover with pitch. Remember when God told Noah to go out and build the ark? He told him to cover the ark with what? Pitch. Right? So the wood ark or the pitch that he covered the ark with, that became the atonement. And the ark represents Jesus, because that was only one way and one way out. So when they come to our one pitch, it represented atonement because eight souls were saved by one. How? In our. Right? So it covered, it's the atonement, it's the covering of sin. There's only one way in, one way out. And the scripture said, God will open the door, and God will close the door. Who closed the door to the ark? I closed that door. Because what nobody else was getting in. So just remember that atonement and covering sin, the pitch, is important. I want us to keep this in mind, especially when we get to Genesis 27, 9, and 16. Next we read, so he could not see. Once again, we must use hermeneutic and word study to prove that Genesis 27 has spiritual implications. See is the verb, see in. In this verse is Strong 72 Riyah. Means to see, observe, consider, look at, give attention to spiritually discern, to distinguish. Let's look at the Hebrew word seer, which is also Riyah in 1 Samuel 9:9-11. Remember saying that he could not what?
See.
Now we're not talking about a natural, we're talking about a spiritual, because he didn't realize spiritually that the blessing was no longer feast on. But they take it back. So he could not see it. How? We're not talking about a natural sin, but spiritually sin. Because if he was in tune with God, when he was about to pass a blessing on, God would have stepped in. Listen, he made a way for him and when he was in Gerar, when there was a deal in a dry, barren desert, God provided and gave him food, 100-fold. Even God couldn't show him something was wrong if he was in tune with God. So God could have shown him if he was in tune with God, but right now he's being driven by something that's not God. Amen? So we're talking about being a seer. 1 Samuel 9:9-11 reads, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, can't come and let us go to the Riyah. What's a seer? He's a spiritual person. He's a prophet. He can see, right? Because they were, at this time, Saul was looking for his sheep or his cat, his animal that were lost. He said, we don't know where they are. We can go to a man of God. Then God is showing them where they are. That's what the seer does. All right? Are y'all still with me? He that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, Is the seer here? So it is evident that this verse has deeper spiritual implications that can only be derived through proper hermeneutics and word study. The first verse is giving us some hidden spiritual information about who?
Isaac.
Which we will see even more so. I realized that was another interruption. Even more so as we continued in this chapter. And I did have it in there. I don't know how I got out. Next, I did have it. Because I was trying to figure out what to put more so or even more so. Maybe I took it out and forgot to put it in. All I know is an interruption. All right. Next, we read that Isaac called Esau his eldest son, which is Gadal. Gadal could mean great, large, distinguished, or older. Once again, we have to read this verse according to the original Hebrew text to see what Isaac really called Esau. All right, so when we read it in the English translation, and we don't want to get into too much of this when we deal with people that aren't in truth in the church, but we already knew the Bible wasn't right. But I'm just saying, you have to know the text. All right, so if this was a regular Sunday, we wouldn't do this. But we're dealing with seasoned saints. Then they're on the milk of the word, and y'all need some steak. Let me kill you. All right, so the original text reads, he called Esau his greatest son. I'm like, wait a minute, I ain't never read that. So I went, I don't just take nothing at face value. I want to go find it. And that's what he called him. He called him his greatest son. Now the question is this, he's about to pass a blessing on. Why would he use a natural term like greatest son instead of a spiritual term like first son? Think about that. Why would he call him his greatest son or his oldest son? The blessing was supposed to be passed on to who? The firstborn. Right, so we're just dealing with the mindset of Isaac. The question which we must ask ourselves is why would Isaac call Esau his greatest son instead of his firstborn son, since we know from the scripture that the blessing of the fathers go to the who? Not the greatest, but the who? Firstborn. Once again, it is showing us something of the spiritual mindset of Isaac at this time as he refers to Esau in a natural or worldly perspective. A what? Worldly perspective instead of the spiritual perspective of disposition that is normally associated when the father passes on his spiritual and godly heritage to whom? Firstborn. The next verse will reveal even more about our spiritual disposition that can only be seen through proper word study of the scripture. And he said, behold, now I am old and I know not the day of my death. This is a very unusual statement for someone who is in Isaac's spiritual position to make. All the godly leaders who were in tune with God and in the right standing with him seem to know what? Seem to know that the day of their death was drawing near. But Isaac lived 43 years after he makes this statement, as we have already established. So there seems to be a problem with Isaac's spiritual discernment. For instance, Abraham knew that his death was approaching, so he sent away the sons that he had by the tour to the east country, but he gave all that he had to Isaac. That's what Genesis 25, verses 5 through 8 say, okay? And then, let me just read the first verse and the last. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubine which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from into a what? Into the east country. Then it says, verse 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. So now Abraham is doing this to Isaac. Isaac is not learning this secondhand, but he's had a firsthand experience. He knows how the blessing is passed on. All right? So now he's about to pass the blessing on. And Isaac knows that Abraham sent everybody away. Right, because they could be in the same place of the promise or the blessings that Isaac was supposed to have. So he gave all that he had to Isaac, and he sent the rest away. Right, because this was the blessing of the only begotten promised child of God. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
Also, Jacob knew that the day of his death was drawing near, so he called his sons and blessed them. That's Genesis 49, 1 through 12. And I only bring this out because he said, I did not know. Right? Which shows that there's a fallacy, there's a problem. There's something, there's a disconnect. Right? Because he should have known if his father knew and if his son knew, then guess what? He should have had some idea. Even if he missed by 5 or 10 years, or 43 years, look at somebody and say, that's a whole lot of missing since y'all ain't talking too much. It's a whole lot of missing. 43 years, all right? And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. That's skipped out of verse 33. And when Jacob had been in of commanding his son, he what? It's the same thing that Abraham did. He gathered up his people to the bed, he yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Does this seem to pose a question as to why the other two patriarchs of the faith knew the day of their death was approaching, but Isaac was off for the day of his death time, 43 years. The scripture refers to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Isaac appears to be out of sync and not in tune with God. Now therefore, verse 3 through 4, now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapon, thy quiver, and verse 4, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee. Question. Then Esau know he has sold the bird. Didn't he know it?
Amen.
He sold it.
Yes.
He said, what good is the birthright going to do me? I'm at the point of death. So he said, what good is this birthright going to do me? Yes, ma'am. Because that's a different case, because at that time he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because the blessing was only to the one son. But after Jacob was no longer the God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the sons of Jacob, so all of the sons got the blessings up until after Jacob and all the sons. Prior to Jacob, it was only the one son. They just showed you that one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Because all God was all one. But after that, for the whole. So, a lot of times people say, well, why do they sometimes refer to Jacob and sometimes refer to Israel? When you refer to as the man, singular, is Jacob. But when you refer to the nation of the tribe, is Israel. All right, so that's what that means, all right? Wait a minute, did I just say that he was going to eat and bless Jacob before he dies? This reveals several layers of Isaac's lack of spiritual discernment. All right, he's going to bless him before he dies. We know from Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 11 that the blessings of the Lord God, to the Lord God and from the Lord God, usually fall eating and being full. But Moses goes one step further as he admonishes Israel not to what? Forget the Lord thy God and not. This is, now, he was doing the blessing part, but he was forgetting the commandments, his judgments, and his statutes. That's Deuteronomy 8 through 11. All right, so you can read that in your spare time. Considering Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 11, with what Isaac just said to Esau, is very critical to understanding how Isaac is really out of tune with God at this time, because Esau did not keep the commandments. He did not keep the statutes. Amen. He finally married outside of the covenant. Amen. He was not there. First of all, we know that Abraham and Isaac were both convicted by the law of God's commandments, judgment and statute, that the heir of the covenant could not be married to who? Who was Esau married to? So why would Isaac still try to pass the blessing on to him when he was in defiance? He was in rebellion to God's commandments. Right? All right. Just consider that. Think about that. I know time is running out, so I'm going to try and go a little faster. All right? Genesis 24, 3 through 4. And I will make thee swear by the Lord. This is Abraham talking to his servant about Isaac. Which Isaac knew. That's why it's kind of hard. Isaac, you lived this. How can you go outside of something you lived when you ought to know better? To him that knoweth to do good, to him that doeth not, the Bible said it is. He knew better. God, he said, listen, not only can you not marry me and I won't, but you can't even leave. I just have to stay here. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the what? See, you cannot take a daughter of my son from the woman of the Canaanites, oh my well, but thou shalt go to my country. Then Genesis 36 says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeroth the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine to Isaac. Isaac knew that Esau was doing something in rebellion and defiance, but he was still trying to force the blessing. That's something. Genesis 27, 46. Now, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife for the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of a man, what good shall my life do unto me? Then, chapter 28, verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob. But did Isaac call Jacob on his own? No. He called Jacob because of Rebekah. Because Rebekah was in tune with God. So Rebecca couldn't have been a supplanter. She couldn't have been a deceiver and a conniver. Only reason that Jacob does what he does is because Rebecca goes to him and says, he cannot marry a Canaanite woman. Are you with me? Isaac, you're supposed to be the progenitor. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be the guy. How do you keep making all these mistakes? Thank God to have a good woman. They help us when we go astray. You can't even say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We didn't all perfect. Thank God to have the man. All right, let's see. We don't want to get off on this. All right, so let's go. Now, she tells him this in chapter 27 and verse 46. And very next verse. Now, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, what?
Thou shalt not take the wife of the Lord of the Canaan.
If all of this is known, why are you trying to pass a blessing on to Esau, who married outside of the covenant? Thank God for Rebecca stepping in. Thank God that Jacob tricked his father. Right? Otherwise, the spiritual heritage would have been marred and messed up because of the Canaanite woman. We must remember that Esau was married to two Canaanite women at this time when Isaac was going to pass the blessing of the spiritual and godly heritage on to him. This would have been a direct affront in the face of God. Affront in the face of God simply means a personally offensive act or word, deliberate act or display of disrespect, intentional flight, insult, and God. So if he had done this, it would have been an affront to the face of God. I want to also point out something else that reveals the evil nature and disrespect that Esau had towards the spiritual and godly heritage of Abraham and Isaac. That boy is an interruption. I hope. We read in Genesis 28 that Esau did what? Wait a minute. This guy's going worse. He already married two Canaanite women. Now he goes even further. He's like, you know what? I'm so mad at you, Dad. I'm going to go marry somebody from your stepbrother's lineage. I'm going to go marry one of the women from Ishmael. This is just all right to find. Because he knew that they had sent Ishmael away because he couldn't be there with Isaac. They knew they weren't supposed to marry a Canaanite woman. Now look what he does in additional defiance. Thank God. Can we say thank God he saw they get the blessing? He would have been another Solomon. He would have just messed it all up. All right. It says, we read in Genesis 28 that Esau intentionally married additional Canaanite women because he saw that it was thinking about? He said, what was he thinking about? Just because he's your son don't mean you got to. What relationship is greater? Our natural relationship or our spiritual relationship? Right? But right now, Isaac is placing more weight in his natural relationship than his spiritual relationship. So it's when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram to take him a wife from there, that as he had blessed him, he gave him charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed. Jacob did what? Did Esau obey his father and mother? Absolutely not. But Esau, that Jacob was, how do you get mad when somebody is obedient? This shows you his real character and nature. All right. Obeyed his father and mother and was going to Padanaram. And Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan, what? Please not his father. Then when Esau unto Ishmael, Isaac's half brother, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. He's just acting all right defiance. But Isaac was going to bless him. How? Under what conditions? So we have to be careful. Don't allow your natural relationship to have greater weight than your spiritual relationship. We see that Isaac had to be completely out of tune on lack of spiritual discernment. Truly, Isaac's eyes were dim. We read, all right, lack of spiritual and mental and spiritual faculties, so that he could not see. God knew Esau's true godly and evil nature before he was born. We read in Romans 9:11-13. For the children not being born, neither having done good or evil, that the what? Purpose of God according to the election might stand. In other words, for him that called. It was said, the elder shall. That should have silenced all these people that keep talking about Isaac wasn't the plan of God. Had given a prophetic word. That the elder shall serve the younger. Alright? And then Hebrews says, Hebrews 12, you all can read the other parts of that, alright? Said, as it written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Hebrews 12:16 says, lest there be any fornicator or perverted, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold. You know what he said, your godly heritage, your godly lineage means nothing. I won't bring it. So he, Bible said, not only was he a fornicator, but he was profane. Can we say thank God for Jacob rescuing and wresting away the blessings of the godly heritage from his ungodly brother Esau? God knew this, and this is why he told Rebekah that the older would serve the younger while the two were still in the womb. That's Genesis 25:22-23, which we've already gone over. Okay? We must keep this prophecy in mind that the Lord gave unto Rebekah, especially for those who embrace the popular erroneous train of thought that Jacob was a deceiver, liar, and supplanter, and that Rebekah was a deceiver's wife and conniving mother who favored one son above the other. Truth be told, Rebekah and Jacob preserved and perpetuated the Abrahamic covenant because of what the two of them did in keeping the covenant from passing on to Esau. Esau would have completely corrupted and violated the law of God, godly heritage that he had established with Abraham, which Abraham had established with Isaac. To be quite honest, Esau was the true deceiver, liar, and supplanter because he knew that he had sold the blessings of the firstborn to Jacob and failed to make it known to his father. Genesis 25:7, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went into the field to hunt for venison and bring it. Now Esau was living a lie because he knew he was no longer the one firstborn. So who's the deceiver? Who's the liar? Because he should have told his father, I sold that birthright. But he acted like everything was all right. Amen. Thank God that Rebekah was in the right place at the right time and heard Isaac's conversation with Esau who knew that he didn't have the legal rights to the blessings of the firstborn. And the reason that Isaac had to call Esau, because remember, Esau was married to two women, so he no longer lived in that household. Right, so he had to call for him to come because he had always married this time. This also tells us something about Isaac's relationship with Esau, whom he loved because of his genesis, and Rebekah's relationship with Jacob, whom she loved because he was chosen by the Lord. Isaac and Esau's relationship was established upon worldly influences because he loved his venison. So there was not truth nor our trust involved in there. Because if he was truthful and had trust, he would have told his father, "Dad, you can't give me the birthright because I gave it, I've already sold it to my brother." So there was no truth. Right? It was built upon the wrong things. Amen? I say this because Esau was born when Isaac was 60 years old. Esau is now approximately 77 years old, and he had never shared something as important as selling of the firstborn birthright to him. I'm sure that Esau was embarrassed and ashamed to let his father know that he despised his birthright. Isaac, Rebekah, and Jacob all knew the importance of the birthright of being the firstborn. They all knew it. Now the question is this, should Esau also have known? Right? They all knew. This is all throughout the Bible. Everybody realized the blessings of the firstborn. Even when David had to set up his kingdom, Adonijah was really ahead of Solomon. But David said, "Okay, you know you're ahead. God has chosen Solomon." So Adonijah went to his mother, went to Bathsheba to try and say, "Well, I want my father's concubine." And this is the firstborn. There was blessings associated. When Adonijah went to Bathsheba to try to get the father's concubine, Solomon said, "Would he want the kingdom also?" He said, "Go slay him." He said, "I know this guy will be a problem for me forever." that was the culture. He said, "Go slay him." Because he was the firstborn, so he had rights. Right? So everybody understood the rights that came to the firstborn. And so if they knew it all the way through the Bible, should Esau have also known it? Amen. That's it for the night. Thank you, Jesus. Any questions? Amen. If you all are like me, I just learned a lot about Isaac that I did not know. Amen. It's going through. I've always read it, but I didn't realize that Isaac had some challenges. Right? Because if he had, how could you, because somebody asked me, like, how could he give the blessing to someone that was in error? I think that's a lesson we need to learn in church as well when it comes to going for God. We shouldn't do anything in error, no matter what our relationship is. The greatest and most important relationship, I think you're getting up, right? Hold on, wait a minute. You gotta use the mic so we can pick it up.